Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener.
The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that have enthralled you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped.
So Ronnie, I recently downloaded Squeeze Me by Carl Hyacin, mainly because it shows a martini glass with a snake tail wrapped around it. I mean, what else needs to be said? And I am very excited to listen to it later today.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500. That's audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500.
At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada.
You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch.
Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker and joining me today is the one and only Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi Ronnie, how are you?
Hi. Hi Ben. Hi everybody. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Welcome to today's episode. We are recapping The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's also Crappens on Demand Day, which means that you can not only listen, you can watch us. Go to Patreon. Patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And if you sign up on the Crappens on Demand level, you get access to these two glorious videos a week. You also get access to our Discord server and our bonus episode. I don't know what we're talking about, our bonus episode. We're going to touch on Dubai, etc., I think. But we actually have two bonus episodes this week, so we didn't do one last week. So we talked a lot about TV on the first bonus episode of this week. So go check that out. Long story short, go check that out. And, you know, what else? In case you missed the announcement, Winter is Crappening is coming back. The trailer for the new House of the Dragon dropped, what, today, Ronnie? Yesterday? You sent me the link.
I don't know. I saw it. I saw it today.
Okay, well, it dropped for us today. But the Game of Thrones prequel is coming back in August and we will be recapping it with Winter is Crappening. So get psyched for that. That's going to be next month. So tell all your friends. It's going to be great. Okay. House of the Ramona. Okay. And lastly, on Mondays, we have Take a Seat on Spotify Live. So come join us at 7 o'clock on the West Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. And a special shout out to the construction team outside my window who decided to start hammering as soon as I press record today. So thank you. Thank you, hammers, for that. Anyway, Ronnie, are you ready to dive into some Beverly Hills? You
know? I sure am. Very exciting episode today on Beverly Hills. Exciting stuff.
Some big time star power on this episode. And it wasn't just a fleeting cameo. It was a full on, like, I'm shooting a scene. And I thought, wow, Jamie Lee Curtis, like she's really like shooting Beverly Hills right now. And then I did like a Google search afterwards. And you know what's so funny, Ronnie? You know what came out yesterday?
What?
The trailer for the new Halloween. Of course.
Well, what a coincidence, isn't it?
Halloween ends.
Kyle better die this time. Oh my God. Spoiler alert for anybody who didn't see Halloween. Sorry, the spoiler alert is late. I should have given a spoiler alert that the spoiler was going to be late, but Kyle is still alive in the series. And yet, no bangs. No bangs this season.
Anyway, I just thought that was so funny. Like, of course the Halloween trailer launched yesterday. Which, by the way, it just shows like how much they have now, like the Halloween world has now put so many eggs into the Kyle Richards basket that they are timing their promotion and the arrival of their trailer with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Hey, man, you need every little extra bit of help you can, I guess, in today's world.
You certainly do.
Today's difficult industry world. Hey, let's talk about how difficult this is for the industry.
Let's talk about the industry. Let's have a roundtable on Variety. Variety roundtable.
Anyway. A roundtable. Yeah. That movie was terrible. Kyle was terrible in it. I don't care what anybody says. Am I biased against Kyle? Yes. Yes, I am. Am I mad that Kyle didn't die? Yes. Yes, I am. But it was still terrible. I still love a good thriller, and that was bad. But you know what? There's another chance to root for Michael. So
it's more of maybe you have to think of Halloween Kills as Michael's like redemption story, like his arc where like suddenly we see him as the protagonist and Kyle as the villain. And we're just rooting for him to finally take care of the big baddie.
Yeah, there was a movie like that last year or the year before where they did one horror movie where the kids go into this house and somebody kills all the kids. But then they did the reverse where you see it from his point of view, like being attacked. These children are coming into your home.
And oh.
I forget what it was called.
Was that the one? Everyone's, the older guy is like the vet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I just...
Yeah, but anyway, they show it from the reverse. And I think they should do it with Halloween. And we find out that it's just like Kim Richards, you know, who should have probably died 37 times. every time we've seen her, we're like, wow, she's still back. She's like, yeah, you know what? The house is on fire. I just pushed the roof off of my head. And here I am, Kyle. I brought some fudge.
Yeah, I found this great William Shatner mask and just, you know, let's have fun. Halloween. Hey, Jamie, you want to play? You want to play?
That's all Michael Myers. He just wants to play with Jamie Lee Curtis. That's all he wants to do.
He just wants a really long kiss on the forehead from Jamie Lee Curtis. Really long. Incredibly long. I was like, are you sipping her brains out of a tiny hole? Why are you kissing her forehead for so long?
Michael Jamie Myers Lee? Just wants someone to fix his eyelash glue. That's all he wants.
Which, by the way, never worked. Which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But I never noticed in the opening that Kyle almost falls backwards in her by Shahida 2.
Oh, my God. Every time they... I'm so glad you mentioned that because I was looking at that scene last night, that little flash, and I was like, every time they show her do that where she whips around and does that like, ha, 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 laugh that she does, I was like, this is the most annoying shot of Kyle Richards they've ever captured in the opening credits.
And it looks like she almost falls down backwards, which makes sense because they're like, Kyle's best friend producers aren't on the show anymore. So that's why Kyle's looking bad now and they're showing her real personality. And I just love that whoever the new queen is over there is just like, use the shot where she almost falls down. Fucking idiot. Use that one.
Use the shot of her in the cheap loungewear. Yeah, that one.
So let's see. So Dorit calls Rinna. And Rinna's, you know, walking around with, what is it? What is she walking? Oh, she's lasering hair off of her chin.
Yeah, she's lasering, but she's like, it's not a vibrator. I swear, it's not a vibrator. It's actually Lois. Every time you see a hair lasering thing, I say, it's Lois inside. It's Lois.
Ow, Lois. Ow. she's spicy. Shockingly spicy. I was worried because she looked like she was dressed to do one of her dancing videos. You know how she puts the phone kind of down on the ground and angles it up at her, and then she comes in a fishing hat and glasses and like does a sex. I was like, please don't bring this onto the show. Yeah. Please leave some things just for Instagram only, ma'am.
It's true. So Dorit's telling us about Omicron. And she's like, just when you think you're done with COVID, Omicron comes. Now Lisa, Erica, and Garcelle all have COVID. Luckily, I managed to dodge the bullet this time. Gee!
Too soon, Dorit.
I know.
Isn't Dorit the one who went through so much trauma she didn't want to hear the word safe space? But then everything Dorit says is like, well, that's like shooting fish in a barrel, isn't it? Like, why do you have to have guns in all your sayings now, Dorit? Too soon.
Dodge the bullet. And it literally is too soon because she winds up testing positive by the end of the episode. So, and for those, by the way, for those wondering, I am still COVID positive. I am still a COVID patient. So anyway, so then we go. People are asking, you know, I want to make sure people know that I'm ill. Okay, I'm ill. Actually, I feel great.
He's dying. That hammering you hear is actually a statue of Ben that they're chiseling outside of the condo.
It's a tribute. It's a tribute.
He's still working. Vanderpump's just under there. Like, hey, by the way, where was our invitation to
Schwartz and Sandy's?
Thomas Rules? Yeah, where was that? I mean, I'm in Texas, but where was your invitation, Ben?
I don't know. All
these Bravo podcasters and people out there.
Were
you
there?
Should send Ariana and Tom a text. It just is like middle fingers and like an eggplant to confuse them.
Oh, I didn't. So see, now you just took the fire on me because I just saw some passing photos of like Tom and Tom flanking Lisa Vanderpump. I was like, oh, that's nice. But now that you say there were other Bravo podcasters there and we didn't get invited.
Oh, yeah. Talk of Shame was over there and she's gorgeous. I mean, I don't know why I'm surprised. I've seen her on the internet before. She's gorgeous there too. But she's gorgeous and just like so sparkly. And Ryan Bailey was over there. And then I stopped because I was like, I stopped to check my texts. I was like, is there an Evite in the spam folder that I've missed?
Wow. Well, I certainly did not receive an invitation, and I am sorry that I could not have gone there in my contagious state because I am COVID positive, in case you didn't hear.
Well, the food was terrible, and it's ugly. There, I said it as someone who was there.
Wow. Well, you know what? This goes in the folder. It goes in the folder, okay? That I did not get invited. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that we talk shit about the bar for 13 weeks straight on a platform. I wonder.
Yeah, I have no idea.
No, I'm sure.
So, yeah. Why are they mad at me? That would be me walking in. So if I ever met like Tamara or Kyle or some of the people that really, or Reza, you know, like the people I really am a hater of on this show. If I ever walked in, like, why are they mad at me? Ben, Tamara wasn't very nice to me.
I know.
Cannot imagine why.
So anyway, we now go over to Kyle's house. And it's all set up. This is like the big... Kyle's all very excited because she feels... You can just tell in her mind the way she set up this luncheon. There's decorations everywhere. She's like, I have the best Christmas house. Because you know what? Like that character that she played in that stupid Peacock movie that we watched last year where she was, you know, with Betsy Brandt, they were competing to have who has the best Christmas display. That was not method acting, okay? That was Kyle drawing from her experience. And you know, this was her being like, I have blown it out of the water. And the rest of the episode is her just getting one-upped by Diana and Kathy. And it's just so great. But she's there and Jamie Lee Curtis comes over and like probably one of the most offensive things that has ever happened on the history of this show is that the chyron they give Jamie Lee Curtis is Jamie Lee Curtis, Kyle's friend.
Oh, burn.
Her entire career reduced down to that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that is a burn. But then Kyle just keeps it going because she's like, wow, Jamie Lee, you look gorgeous and stunning, Jamie Lee. I mean, I'm just a mess. Like, I mean, I just colored my gray roots, which were hideous. Gray-haired people are so gross, right? Am I right? Oh, God, gray-haired people. Jamie Lee Curtis, like proudly gray, is like, wow. And then that's when she grabs Kyle's head and she just like
puts her lips on her head. She's like,
and then she just leaves her head there.
Communes with her.
Yeah, and Kyle's like, it's
just like keeping her head there. It's like,
yeah, you know, like my skin is dyed, my hair is gray. And she's like,
Kyle, I'm just breathing in the desperation for my next film. Kyle.
It's like, back off, Jamie Lee. What the fuck? Like, I'm even defending Kyle at this point.
No, I totally support Jamie Lee. It was her way to make Kyle shut up for a few seconds. Like, let's just give me a few seconds of tranquility before I have to dive into the scene and pretend I'm so happy to be shooting this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... That long kiss was...
That was something. It was
hilarious.
And she's like, I don't give a shit about your gray hair, Kyle. All I care about is your heart.
I know. And she said it like 10 times. I'm not here for any other reason except your heart.
Yeah. Like, I'm not here for your pretty house. I'm not here for any reason other than your heart, Kyle.
I'm only here for your heart. I only care about your heart. It's like, we get it, Jamie. You're here for her heart. It's like, welcome to Game Show Network's newest show. What is Jamie here for? Okay. Paul, you've got you're up. He's like, I'm gonna take the convenience store for $300. Okay. You walk into a convenience store, you see Jamie Lee Curtis, you ask her, what are you here for? Anyone, what is Jamie Lee Curtis here
for? What is her brain? What is her brain? Because it looks like Jamie Lee is trying to suck out her brain.
Samuel, so. I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Paul, your heart. She's here for your heart. That is correct, Paul, once again.
Yeah, Kyle's just got such a great heart, you guys, which is why she can't just donate to a charity. She has to have a separate wing of the charity in her own name, over Jamie Lee Curtis's name, by the way, because she's like, you know, I'm gonna donate to the Kyle Richards and also Jamie Lee Curtis X by X for the word by Jamie Lee Curtis too.
Kyle, you know, the Kyle by Jamie collab at the Children's Hospital LA. Let me tell you. Let me tell you something, Ronnie.
Ooh, I like it. Listeners, I like the spice.
Listeners of the podcast may remember our old friend Lisa Timmons, and Lisa Timmons used to work for the Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and back like maybe like 9 or 10 years ago, when I was blogging more, Children's Hospital was doing this big gala. And I was oddly like, maybe Lisa was doing social media or something for it, but I went with Lisa to this gala and like, we shot a video of like the red carpet of people walking in and they like, and like we interviewed people on the red carpet for this Children's Hospital gala. And it was like Melanie Griffith and the mayor of LA. And let me tell you something, who was there? Jamie Lee Curtis and Garcelle Beauvais. And let me tell you who was not there, that at least I don't remember. But now I'm suddenly very nervous that I've started to go down this path and I may be incorrect. But I'll just say it right now. Kyle Richards. And I will apologize later if I'm wrong. But
well, it wasn't in her name then. Listen, Kyle's only going to go if she gets top billing over Jamie Lee Curtis that she has to pay for. You know, that's Kyle with her good heart. Sniff now that good heart.
I got to go back and look at that video. Good. I got to find that video. People can find it somewhere on YouTube.
So Jamie's like, not Jamie Lee, Kyle's like, you know, I've known Jamie Lee Curtis since 1978 because, you know, we work together. We're actors. We're in the industry. So, you know, she's very kind-hearted and thoughtful enough to be in tiny little letters under the Kyle Richards Foundation.
I mean, she's been a movie star for over 40 years. I love whenever Kyle drops things like that because the implication is like, look who I'm friends with, a movie star who's been a movie star for 40 years. So Jamie, of course, she's
Kim's
not-
at home like, yeah, I'll one-up you, Betty Davis, bitch. Kim, didn't you die in that terrible tractor accident? Yeah, we rolled a little bit, but I'm fine, Kyle. I'm fine. I brought some chicken salad.
So Jamie has these enormous gift bags that she's dropping off at everyone's seat and everything. And it's basically because it's Jamie's foundation, the My Hand in Yours, which like supports Children's Hospital, which is great. And
also don't do that during COVID. it's against protocol.
Or at the workplace, probably.
My sick child's charity, Breathing Without a Mask. Am I right, everybody?
Please welcome my charity. Swiping my fingers across your back at the water cooler.
Oh God. So
gentle caresses.
Yeah. Not washing your hands. The charity. So Kyle's like, girl's like, yeah, you know, Jamie founded a charity called My Hand is Old But So Is Yours, you little fucking kid. And I get out,
my get hand out of my your trailer. Claw.
So Jamie Lee is like on, right?
Yeah.
She's like, look at me on TV. Look at me, film star. on television. This is wacky. Okay. Did you guys get me kissing Kyle's head? I did it three times. Can you just choose one of those? Okay, because I'm going to go on to the next segment.
I was really trying to channel some of my work from Anything But Love. Okay, great.
I want to do my lighting bit now. Can I do my lighting bit? Okay. I choose lighting. Even like back in the day, I would go to business meetings and I would choose the lighting that was best, even if I had to sit on the person's desk to do it. I'd be like,
let me tell you something. I've got one other Jamie Lee Curtis story, which I feel like is appropriate now since we're talking about lighting. One time I was driving on Santa Monica Boulevard and I stopped at a light and there was this like big black Escalade next to me. And I looked over and the back seat was like aligned up with my front seat. And it's like Jamie Lee Curtis. It was at night and she was reading like a script and the light was on her. And I said to whoever's in my car, I was like, oh my God, there's Jamie Lee Curtis. And we both were looking like, oh my God, that's so random. Like Jamie Lee Curtis, like right next to us. And she looked over and she saw us and she turned off the light. And it just went black. It was like curtain down. I was like, you do that. Good for you.
Like, did we just get dissed by the Activia lady?
It was like the equivalent of someone pulling their shade down. Like,
For that video of Celine Dion getting into a limo after a show, and this mob, these people are like mobbing her, and some girl comes up and she's like, Nya, fa, wah, and she just rolls up the window on her, like looking at her like you were disgusting.
I haven't seen that video. I need to see it immediately.
So people start arriving to this luncheon or whatever. Diana, Cherie, and Cherie's like, well, wait, are we hugging? And Jamie Lee's like, I just don't know. I mean, are we extending ourselves? We're living in COVID times. Cherie, come here.
God, that smells good, Cherie.
Who wants a lip dent in their hair? Get over here, okay?
You just inhaled Kyle. So what do you, are you suddenly worried about COVID?
I know.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living.
So you take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you a delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use.
Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. We love this place. It's like, I like eating this, this, and this. I'm a vegetarian. Eat some fish sometimes. They send you all these groceries that all fit into exactly what you like.
Yeah, I have an issue with snacking in that I always want to snack, but I often snack on things that aren't always as good for me. And it was really great to get all sorts of healthy, nutritious snacks from Hungry Root. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Watch What Crappens listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life.
Just go to hungryroot.com/crappens to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's hungryroot.com/crappens. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Well, I'm getting to that age now, Ronnie, where I see myself on camera and I can see the back of my head. The hair is thinning out. And honestly, I mean, I have to imagine that the past few years, the stress in our world, in our lives, has impacted it.
I mean, your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. It could be your job, your deodorant, your hormones. It could be almost anything that has almost nothing to do with your hair. And that's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months.
Address your root causes of hair thinning with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CRAPPINS.
Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS. So there's a lot of like, I'm a hugger conversation between everyone. And then everyone's starting to show up. And Diana, of course, is in no mood for Sutton. In fact, she literally says, I am so not in the mood for Sutton. Not at all.
Not at all.
And then Dorit is very happy. Dorit has full on Dorit scratchy voice on. She sees Jamie Lee Curtis and she's like, "Hi, Jenny!" And then in her interview, she goes, "Jenny Lee Curtis! Oh boy! Oh!" I'm like, okay, someone shake Dorit. Get that thing out of her throat.
She's like, "Jamie Lee, is this real right now? Is this real?" Well, you're pinching your fake knockoff bullshit outfit, so no, it's not. Why don't you lift your sleeve and do that again, please?
I just loved you in Scallop Called Wendy. It was wonderful.
So Sutton's like, "Wow, look at us, Jamie Lee Curtis and me, both wearing the same color. We're blending in together, Jamie Lee." And she's like, "Yes, and you know, if you gave me this purse, I could, you know." It was
just like banter. Although Sutton, yeah, of course, banter. Is like, she's like, "Oh, is this Dolce?" Because I think that's Sutton. I think Sutton maybe goes into every scenario in life asking if something's Dolce. Like she goes to like a summer camp and sees like a kid running around in a t-shirt. "Is that Dolce? Is that Dolce?" And Jamie Lee is like, "Oh, this is just old Alexander Wang." And Sutton goes, "Oh, good. Like, oh, I was worried that you brought H&M to the party."
I think Sutton just says that to everybody so she can say, "I know them. I know Dolce and Gabbana. They give me a free couture every year for my birthday. They do. She'd come up to me wearing Old Navy. "Is that Dolce? Because I know them." It's like, no. Like, it has the Old Navy flamingos all over it. You know how you can recognize the print from Old Navy? It's like, yeah. Oh, God. He's wearing the flamingo print. So Sutton's like, I don't know. What did she say? "Really, Kyle?"
Because they go.
I hate these scenes when nothing's happening. They're just standing around going, "You look great. Oh, my God. I love your pants. Oh, my God. I love your shirt. Oh, my God. Is that a bracelet? I love those. Yeah, I was thinking I wanted an anklet, but something for my wrist." Yeah. "Oh, my God. I love that. Me too.
Is that Dolce?" No, the reason why Sutton said Kyle really is because they go to the table. And Sutton looks and sees that Kyle has sat her next to Diana, of course. And Kyle's like, "Ha ha."
Messy.
And then Kyle has that look on her face like, "Oh no, I messed up." But it was like, Kyle, you knew exactly what you were doing. But they actually rearrange it before there's any drama.
Yeah, and Kyle's like, "Let's be honest. I mean, no matter who I see next to her, she's got a problem here with somebody." So then Cherie is like, "Oh my God. I have eyelash glue on. I like globbed it on. Something's wrong with my eyelash glue." So Sutton goes over to help her with that. She's like, "I'm going to put your lash on. Here's what I'm going to tell your lash. I am a good person. I am a good person, Lash.
Now listen here, eyelash glue, you motherfucker. Get on out of here." So she's like failing at the job. So Jamie Lee, she's like, "I am so into this. You have no idea. I mean, I remember one time shooting a commercial for Activia and an entire container of yogurt just fell on my eyelid. So this is like nothing compared to that. Okay, let me come over in here and help.
My eyes shit for a week. I'll tell you that much."
So
then it comes out in a big blob. And Dorit's like, "That is Seba shoes. That is Seba shoes shooting." And then poor Cherie is now stuck. Like, Jamie Lee's trying to fix it, but Cherie is a mess for the rest of the episode. Her eye's like this. It's like part of it is stuck to the upper lid. And she keeps trying to look normal, but her eye won't close right. So funny.
So then at the other end of the table, Dorit, being very discreet, no, that was a rhyme, she like leans over to Diana and she's like, "Gee, I heard you had lunch with Sutton. How did it go? I hope I'm not speaking too loudly so people would overhear."
"Did you have lunch with Sutton the mutton? Tell me that." And Diana's like, "Oh, terrible." Ooh. She does this like shimmy shiver. And she's like, "I'm repulsed by her. I honestly went home and I was honestly scrubbing myself. Really, really, I did. I did exfoliate."
She offends my space. So then, but luckily, I think that because if Jamie Lee Curtis weren't there distracting everyone, I'm sure everyone would have, Kyle would have been like, "What was that? What are you guys talking about? Huh? Oh, are you talking about the lunch that went badly? Is that what we're talking about?" You know?
Yes.
But Jamie Lee Curtis took priority.
Right. So then Dorit goes into her full ass-kissing mode, as she does. And she's like, "Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis. mother of Tony. I'd just like to say we are so honored, pleased, and proud to be with you, Jamie Lee.
You know, one of the most difficult parts of my childhood was trying to figure out the order of all your first names. As a Curtis Lee Jamie, Curtis Jamie Lee, Lee Jamie Curtis, and finally learning that you're actually just Jamie Lee Curtis. It really clarified so many things for me, so for that, thank you in prayer hands.
So Jamie Lee's like, okay, well, you know what? While you're eating, while we're going to eat, okay, I'm going to tell you why I'm here. Now, I'm going to show you some things from the children's charity that are in your gift bag. Okay, I'm going to show you some things.
Hands and hands.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. It's like having our own Dolce here.
And then it becomes this hilarious infomercial where Jamie is basically like, okay, so what we have here, this is a tumbler. This is a tumbler you can put your beverages into. Do you see
chic.
This tumbler?
Yes. Chic! That is what I'd call chic!
It keeps things hot and cold.
Mm. Ooh!
This is a license plate holder. We got a license plate holder. You put a license plate in this on your car.
Never thought of doing something like that. Mine is kept drawing. I have the little girl who keeps coming visit my house, holding on the license plate. As I drive, she says, be careful, Mama, don't hit a speed bump. All I needed this whole time was a chic license plate holder.
A small towel. This is a towel you can use to work out. You can use it to wipe things. You can just have it as a decoration. Just a small, plain towel.
Chic! Oh my God! Whatever, whenever, we will be together. I'm Shakira right now. That's so chic.
A Think Bar. If you are hungry, you need a snack. Think Bar. You eat it. It gives you protein. It gives you nutrients. It's as simple as that.
Is the thong song playing right now? I'm feeling chic-y. That is chic.
Here's something I'm very proud of in this gift. This is a small piece of paper that shows you how to turn on a ring light. Normally, you have to purchase the ring light to get one of these, but we're just going to give it to you. It's two pages, very simple instructions.
Does anybody have bad breath? Because I might as well be a little square piece of gum called a chiclet. That's a chic.
Dorit is like falling all over herself just saying chic for everything.
For everything. And they're like the most simple. And like, honestly, the thing that cracked me up the most was the tumbler. Because it's just a generic, you know, like hot, cold tumbler. And she's acting like she has never seen one before. She literally goes, so it keeps things hot and cold. I was like, what in the 2:30 a.m. infomercial is this? Like, it's like she's the one person in those audiences that really is like not being paid. She's like, oh, it dehydrated the fruit. Wow.
My personal favorite was the wind chime, because who doesn't want a sick child wind chime? Every time the wind blows, you're like, oh my God, children are sick somewhere. It's like, bling, bling,
bling, bling, bling. Or how about when Jamie Lee Curtis brought out a dog leash and Dorit goes, stop it right now. I'm like, it's a dog leash.
That is chic.
Jamie Lee goes, well, that's the end of my spiel, and it cuts to Diana, and I feel like in some way maybe someone over there is listening to this podcast, but they cut to Diana giving the biggest tongue lick or lip lick of the entire season. It's like a full like slow motion around the clock thing. It was like before a movie starts, like a TV thing happens when you see like the 5-4. It was like it was like the clock wind down. It was like the premiere of a YouTube video.
And I love how unimpressed Diana was with the whole thing. She's like, wow, thank you very much, Elton John. I'm sorry, what was your name?
Oh, yeah.
I host Oscar parties, so.
Did I forget, did I see you at sold out Dodger Stadium doing concerts? Oh, that was Yelton.
So Jamie Lee's like, well, ouch, God, guys, does anybody have any Band-Aids? Because my career's bleeding. I've got to go now. Bye.
Well, not before Kyle says, well, Jamie, I was talking to Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and I decided to give...
Best one does, you know.
Yeah. $25,000 to the Kyle Richards and Jamie Lee Curtis Fund, which I just started. I added your name to mine just to make sure I had some just little... Sort of gave me a little leg up there in the fame, you know, just sort of put us on the same foundation. And Jamie's like, oh, thanks.
She goes, at the hospital? No, Jamie Lee. The Kyle Richards and fucking Jamie Lee Curtis Fund at the 7-Eleven, okay? What do you think she means?
And Diana goes, I'm matching it. And they're like, oh my God, Diana, you know. And then it cuts to Sutton, and you can see for a moment that Sutton wants to match it, but then is afraid to, because then she'll look like she's being competitive with Diana. So she just sort of mutters and moves her spoon around on the plate.
I will match it and raise you, and I'm a good person.
I'm donating $35,000 to the motherfucker fund. That's what I'm donating to.
The motherfucker fund. Motherfucker fund. So Kyle walks Jamie Lee out, and Cherie and Sutton go sit on the couch, and they're in front of the fireplace. And Cherie's like, I'm in menopause. I cannot sit next to this fire. So they switch, and Dorinda.
I heard there was a wind chime here.
Dorit sits down, and she's like, so, I don't want to say this too loudly.
You had lunch with Danny, did ya?
I can't give this a second try since it didn't quite take off during lunch. So Sutton's like, oh, she is angry. She is one angry motherfucker. That's what I gotta say. And Shree's like, you know, why are you always in trouble? What's that about? And Sutton's like, because I say what I think. And Shree's like, how's that working out for you?
She wouldn't be in trouble if people weren't always stirring shit around. Like, I mean, she wouldn't be in trouble right now at this second if Dorit wasn't in every single scene going, so you hate Sutton, tell me about it. So Sutton, she hates you, does she? Chime. Guess what? My wine is cold, but later it's going to be hot. It's a microwave cup from Jamie Lee Curtis.
So Sutton's like, well, I could sit here and be quiet, but then y'all are going to be sad. And then we talked about this before, and then you're all going to be like, oh, why isn't Sutton talking? Okay. I'm like, Sutton, I think there's a way to still have conversations with people without being totally obnoxious also. Like, I think the point is you don't have to sit down with Diana and say, so you're supposed to be in bed rest, so that's strange.
Yeah, there's no way of rephrasing that that's going to make it better, you know? So Sutton's like, well, but because Cherie's saying, look, I get what you're saying, but like, if you're bitchy to me at one of my lowest moments, like, that's not cool, you know? And Sutton's like, but does it excuse you mocking me when I'm telling some of my lowest moments right after you told some of your lowest moments, except mine are two times as bad because your lowest moments happened to me two times? Is that a problem?
And Sutton's like, I would never make fun of someone's miscarriage. And Dorit's like, but you did. You questioned that she was on bed rest. Speaking of which, check out these new pillow protectors I got from Jamie Lee Curtis. They go on a pillow. So chic.
Had you led with empathy, you would have had a different reaction to that. You would have known where your dog is because it was on a Jamie Lee Curtis cancer leash.
Sutton's like, well, she hurt my feelings terribly. So Dorit starts saying how Sutton always makes everything about Sutton, and she says, gee, if you can't see your own mistakes, you're gonna have a lot of trouble. It's like when PK orders Pringles every single night and still doesn't understand why he has diabetes 6045.
So Dorit's like, do you want to fix things? Do you? I do. Well, may I introduce the Jamie Lee Curtis asthma drill? It works on screws and nails. It can keep them hot, cold, or somewhere in between. Or have a pizza.
So then we go to Kyle, Crystal, Diana. They're talking at the bar. And Crystal's, of course, behind the bar because she has to make everyone's drinks. And they're like, wow, Kyle, you're such a good person. Oh, my God, Kyle, you are such a good... Kyle, you are amazing. Kyle's like, I know. It's the Kyle Richards Foundation, which Jamie Lee Curtis do. So, I know. So then Crystal's like, you know, so Crystal's just standing there being nice. And Kyle goes, but how are you, Crystal? Because I saw what you posted on Instagram about your eating disorder. I saw that. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, and so Crystal's sort of like, she's just saying like, yeah, I haven't really quite nailed down what causes it. Or like, you know, sometimes it's nothing, sometimes it's a lot. I don't really know. She's sort of being polite, but you can sort of tell she's like, she probably doesn't want to talk about this right now. And so Kyle's like, oh, is it that you don't have control? Or is it like an appearance thing? Crystal says it's about control. And she just shares a story about how like, she wanted to post this photo, but she didn't like how she looked in it, and she felt like crap. So that's why she posted on Instagram, because she just felt like being very brutally honest. And so they're like, okay, well, that was nice for sharing. But Kyle just keeps on asking, and she's like, so, do you binge? Is that what you do? Do you eat, like, very little? And then the very little you eat, that's what you throw up? I'm like, Kyle, read the room a little bit.
I know. Kyle's like, do you have any POV videos of when you get hungry? You know, you should wear... You should wear a GoPro on your forehead. I would really love to see what's going on in your kitchen. It's like, Jesus, Kyle, back down.
I know. Chris is like, wow, you're asking the hard questions. Kyle's like, well, I'm asking the hard questions because I want to remind everyone that this is actually more about me than you, okay? And so then...
She's like, I'm asking the hard questions because I've been bulimic twice and you've been bulimic once. Like, she's very hypocritical in the way that she's like, Sutton... Okay, we're not talking about you right now, Sutton. We're talking about Diana, you know? It's very Kyle. It's just so hypocritical. And Kyle's like, I mean, do you just eat a little and then you... Or do you just eat a little and that's a problem? Or then do you eat a lot and then you throw up? Or do you just eat a little and then you throw that up? I'm like, oh my
God. Do we need to know the details of like...
God, leave her alone.
Is this like America's Test Kitchen? Like getting all the specifics? So yeah, basically she's just... So Crystal's like sharing, and she's sharing about, you know, like...
I'm sorry, but I have to go in on Kyle some more. Please. So Kyle's basically asking her, do you not eat? Is that your thing? Or do you binge and purge? She said bulimia, didn't she? Isn't this already been labeled as bulimia? So Kyle, who's like, oh, I know eating disorders, does not know the difference between anorexia and bulimia. Leave the fucking woman alone. This is not...
I believe that Kyle knows the difference between anorexia and bulimia. I just think that Kyle didn't listen to Crystal when she told her thing last
that
year.
Makes,
she's like, yes, Nanny K, who? Yeah. Who's Nanny K? I would always listen. Did you not hear my story about V8? So,
guys, Crystal has nanny anorexia.
Nanny anorexia.
<That's, laughs> Yeah, you're right. She probably just didn't listen.
Yeah.
God, Kyle. So, awkward.
But anyway, I mean, so Crystal's sharing about this, what she goes through on what seems like a pretty regular basis. And she talks about how she will never order pasta because it will trigger her. And how this started it when she was young, when she was like 11, because she was like the tallest kid in class. She was always in the back. And then she was also a minority. She looked different from everyone. And she just, it's really sad because you see that she really struggles with this. And she is really concerned about passing it on to her kids. So it was like... You know, my heart really went out to her about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, she's strong to share it on TV and stuff. And Kyle's like, you know, well, I mean, when I was younger, I mean, forget having a national platform with millions of followers. Ding! But, you know, we wouldn't even talk about that with my friends or my family. So, I mean, to post it on Instagram, I mean, it seems like a cry for help. Like,
yeah. I mean, the only person I would really ever share it with, now come to think of it, was probably screen legend Jamie Lee Curtis. But that's probably it.
It's a cry for help because it's on Instagram. It's what I think of every time I see you in a Coachella Instagram video. Every single time. I'm like, someone help Kyle.
Yeah. but it was really sad because Crystal's basically like, I'm exhausted because it's clearly a battle she's been fighting like her whole life or most of her life. And it was like very, you know, I felt bad. And I also, you know, it's weird because like your instinct, you know, I want to be like, gosh, but you're so gorgeous. And then I see them saying, you're so gorgeous. And I'm like, you know, it's deeper than just saying that. But of course, that was what ran through my mind, too. But, it is sad to know that, you know, that she's struggling so hard with these things, you know.
It's just watching these, because I think Diana's pretty nice about it. You know, they're both nice about it, they're not really, they don't really say the right things necessarily. It's like, but you're so thin, but you're so pretty.
Yeah.
Not even in this particular scene, but in general.
Yeah.
But, Kyle's like, you know, she tells us, because I went through my own issues, I've educated myself and my daughters, and I made a conscious effort to make sure they don't go through that. So everything she says just makes me like kind of cringe, because later her thing is, you know, she doesn't get help for it, then nothing's going to change or what. I don't know. I'm cringing through the whole thing just because Kyle's in it. This is not the person to be in this scene.
I mean, it sounds like Kyle's had frank discussions with her daughters, which I actually think is really great. But I also am like, I do wonder, you know, what sort of impact having like a mom on some of these shows, you know, where there is so much attention on like, you look great, you look fab, you know, like they're constantly going to places where like working out, they're constantly going to places to look younger and thinner. They're constantly, you know, having stuff done. And that's, by the way, everyone's prerogative. It doesn't mean that if you do that, you like, you know, you are, you know, really warping everyone's minds or whatever. But I do wonder what impact that has on some of these kids sometimes.
Well, listen, I started getting Botox, and look at Bueller. I mean, he's smooth as a damn bowling ball. You know, look at him. He can't even open his eyes.
The generational cycle.
The only thing he can move anymore is his ears. Look at him over there. Bless his heart. Sorry, babe. Sorry.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it, yes. They sent me some, and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked at, I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
So then the group reconvenes in the living room, and Kyle's like, what were you guys talking about? What were you guys talking about? Because she probably overheard something. She probably heard something about like lunch, and she was like, we got to go back in that room, okay? We got to do that. So then
I don't want to miss getting on Sutton again. Let's go back.
Yeah. So then Dinah's like, awkward. So Sutton's basically...
Yeah, because they said, we were talking about your lunch, yeah. Right? And so Diana's like, awkward. And so Kyle's like, oh, well, you went to lunch, so what about that? And Sutton's like, well, I think that Diana isn't ready to kind of accept anything from me, even a napkin after she licks her whole face, which, let's all be honest, is kind of awkward.
Diana's like, that's right. And so Kyle's like, except what? What, a donation to the Kyle and Jamie Fund, sponsored by Kyle and Jamie? Is that what you're talking about? No? No?
Did you apologize? Did you accept an apology? I mean, what happened? What happened? And Sutton's like, I'm done apologizing, okay? Because I don't think I've apologized already, and I don't think she's ready to ponder any kind of relationship with me. So then Diana goes into her Diana speech, you know, yes. Which is basically, I won't repeat it here because it's depressing, eh? But also because it's long. So basically she's like, look, I went through a lot and I didn't want to come to LA. I came to LA because I didn't want to be in the same space as I was when I just lost the baby. And then I went to Mexico with you guys and had a really good time and probably drank too much when I shouldn't have been drinking. And I'm just in a bad headspace. And yeah. Like, maybe I'm being rude, you know, and maybe it was rude when I sent that message to the group, but I'm doing my best. Okay. Yeah. There, that's it. And I was like, well, okay, that's actually,
it was good. It actually was a good housewife speech, right? Like that's actually what, cause that's all that they want on this show. They just want to like beat someone down until they have to make their speech. And so that's what she did, you know, because she started bleeding again because she drank too much tequila, she said. So then they're all like, oh my God. And they're like, we thought that the miscarriage was like months and months ago. We didn't realize it was so soon. And, you know, Diana says that Sutton's behavior was hurtful and that Sutton should know better. And so Sutton's like, I was just trying to connect the way I connect with Dolce. Is that Dolce, by the way? And I really was. It was an honest approach to connect with you. We've had a rough and rocky start, mostly because of you. But I'll just say I'm to blame for what I would say 95%. And you know what? Take all the time you need. Okay. All the space you need, because I am here. And in closing, you're still a motherfucker, okay? Because I'm a good person.
I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Dolce and Gabbana. If you invite Donatella again, I'm bringing an axe to chop down that large, skinny, horrible brown tree stuck in the middle of the studio, not giving me the seat I want. You motherfucker. I'm sorry. What I meant was, I'm sorry. Very, very sorry. And so Crystal's like, wow, that was actually kind of beautiful, Sutton. And Diana goes, time out for both. It is time out for both. It is, you know, last meeting we went to, my hat squeezed the blood out of my brain. I could have died. So time out. Time out for both.
So now we go to Rinna's house. Rinna is FaceTiming with Erica. And Rinna basically, she doesn't feel quite normal yet. And Erica's going to get out of isolation in 2 days, just in time for Diana having her birthday party. They're just basically talking about, like, you know, that it's sort of a tough time right now because the holidays, et cetera, with Lois and with Tom. And Rinna's like, Harry brought home your Los Angeles magazine cover with his barely legal expose on you and Tom. Brought it home for us.
I like that Rinna is sitting on her patio overlooking the hills of Beverly. It's gorgeous. It's sunset. And they're like, how much more can we take? And she's like, I know.
That's so funny.
So she, they start talking. Erica's like, oh, that's just recycled. You know,
they criticize me for being ambitious. Since when is that a crime for a woman to be ambitious and not just some quiet little woman just doing womanly things? Well, sorry, I burned a bra, bitch. All right, it's called suffrage.
It's like, okay, that's
ready for Dan. Relax.
Yes, I don't think that's anyone's problem that you had ambition. It's that you didn't actually do anything on your own. You spent the millions of dollars that were supposed to go to victims to fund that horrible career that you don't really have the talent for. Let's be honest. Okay. Let's not rewrite LA magazine. Okay.
Let's not. So then she talks about how Tom called her and that he calls every now and then, and sometimes he recognizes her and sometimes he doesn't. And she says that, you know, he's in like a memory care facility. She's like, you know, it doesn't get better. It only gets worse. It's kind of like listening to one of my albums. You know, by the time you get to track 12, I mean, might as well just say sayonara. I'm just kidding.
It's not expensive to be me. It ages badly.
So Rinna's like, yeah, but they said that now Tom's brother is going to rep him and the divorce. And she's like, well, they probably can't pay the lawyers, so I can't really get a divorce, can I? So I'm legally separated, but you know what? It's ironic, because if I divorced him, I'd had to give him alimony. So I'm good. Thanks. I'm good.
So now we go to Diana and Asher at home planning their Christmas party. Asher is so terrible. I don't know why.
He is terrible. Like,
he's just terrible. He's like, hi, he guys. Terrible.
He reminds me of Million Dollar Decorators. Do you remember that show?
Oh, yes, loved that show. Loved it.
So Million Dollar Decorators, one of the decorators was dating or like about to marry a guy who was way younger than him.
Yes.
A lot younger than him. And, you know, this guy owns the firm or whatever. And so the young guy would come in and just act like he knows everything. He would walk into every house like, I mean, we're doing Carrera there, right? We're doing Carrera. Oh, and that's going up and that's going. It's like, you're not even a designer, dude. You're like an assistant. But that's a long way of saying that's what Asher is giving me, you know?
Like
just walking around being like, we're doing something in the entryway, right? We are, right? Because it's Christmas, so I want something here, right here in the entryway. Come out so I can show you. Come out so I can show you. Right here in the entry. It's like, yes, they know what a fucking door is, Asher. Okay?
I think they'd know how to decorate a stoop. Okay, you just say decorate the stoop. Asher, like I've yet to see any evidence that Diana and Asher have any sort of connection. Not saying even romantic. I'm like, they don't seem to really talk to each other. They just sort of talk into the air, if that makes sense. It's like she says things. They don't even talk at each other. Like she just sort of says things and he says things and they're just geographically, you know, like close. So therefore it like resembles a conversation, but I don't think there's like any like where how are these two like married?
Right.
There's no rapport.
They're both like theater people. Like they're talking out.
Yes.
You know? Like you can't look at each other. You know. So he's just going through the house like, okay, it's Christmas. I want to see a tree there. Oh my God. Do you know what I want to see here? Something Christmassy. Did everyone write that down? I said something Christmassy.
Okay, ornaments. Do we have ornaments? Have you considered ornaments on the trees? Like, yes, we have ornaments. And tinsel. Yes. And stockings. Yes. And Easter Bunny, just testing you, were you paying attention? No, but we do.
So
have
they
Easter
go
bunnies.
Out. No Easter bunnies in the entryway. Let me show you where that is. Come on. I want to show you. So then they go outside and okay, there's only one place, you know, it's like a typical house in LA. It's like $90 million. And then the backyard is like this big, right? So there's a pool and then there's one square of deck. Yeah. So there's only one place you're going to put the bar outside. I mean, otherwise it's going in the pool. It's not a sprawling backyard. So he walks to the deck and he goes, where should we put the bar? And he goes, we could lose this section. And Diana's like, well, I don't want to lose anything exactly because then where would the people sit? And he's like, no, well, I mean, they're not going to lay down. I mean, they're not going to just lay down. She goes, you don't know what my part is.
Lady.
It's a big decision on where to put the bar. There's only one place to put the bar.
You know what? You know what, lady? If you want to really show how rich you are, why don't you cover your pool? Okay. Even Christine did it on Selling Sunset. So why don't you do it? Okay.
They even did that on It's a Wonderful Life. And George's house was being, you know, taken back from the bank.
And they kind of did that on Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. They at least did a bridge. A runway. The point
why
is,
why don't
Diana,
you just do this on a roller coaster through the mine like they did in Goonies?
Why don't you just do this on Rainbow Road like they do on Mario Kart? But either way, I don't know. I was like annoyed by this debate about like, but what about the chaise lounges? Because they'll stand here. I was like, this. Have you guys even thrown a party in this? Do you guys understand space, like spatial arrangements, how people need to walk and move? It was stupid. And then Diana,
well, it's just funny because he's acting like he does anything. You don't do dick, Asher. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
You know, you're like a kept man, which is fine. You know, good for you. But stop walking around, bossing around the people who know what they're doing.
Right.
You guys aren't doing shit for this party and everybody knows it. Go to your room, Asher.
Like growing up in Yugoslavia, we didn't celebrate Christmas because of communism. So the first time I saw the beauty of Christmas, I was in London. And they really light up those streets. I had to exfoliate myself afterwards, but happy exfoliation. I just want to turn my house into a winter wonderland.
Yeah, I go over top for sure. So then Ash continues to boss everybody around.
I'm sorry to interrupt. This is the thing. I knew there was something about this scene that really cracked me up. While they're having this debate about, like, Asher saying, like, let's have the bar here and we'll clear the chairs. And Diana's like, no, we'll keep the chairs because people may want to sit on them. And then it cuts to her and she goes, I'm the bigger dreamer of the two of us. I'm like, wow, dare to dream, keeping loungers out at your party. Like, wow, you really, that clarity of vision that you have, Diana, thank you for sharing that with us.
He's the sensible one, and I'm the creative.
I'm the
the creative who just imagines a world where people sit.
Imagines a world where you can have a bar and a chaise lounge in the same space. Wow, she is a dreamer.
I dreamed a dream of time gone by. So Asher's like, oh, and I imagine trees, like Christmas trees, like just everywhere, just where trees can go. It's like, okay, Asher. So then we go to Kathy's house. Kathy's back.
Yes, the contract has finally been signed. I'm assuming that's what this all means. So she is, she's sort of prancing around her house. She's sort of like sort of singing. She's saying, she's not doing like fa la 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 la, but she's going like la 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 la. Right? Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm a mess.
She's like, oh, I'm a mess. Ga 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 ga. Oh, ga 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 ga. I don't know. So she's coming downstairs in her sunglasses and she walks over Kyle's floor, the floors that Kyle stole from her.
The original OG.
And, she's like, Paula, do we have spoons? Paula, oh my God, Paula, all that caviar, that's enough for an elephant. I'm never going to eat that much, Paula. Paula.
Whose name is Paula, specifically? Paula. You know this woman's name is Joanne, by the way. Let's be honest.
She's like, she came into my fabric store and made me serve her caviar for a day and changed my name. What the fuck?
She's like, I'm still waiting to go home. I just helped her bring groceries to the car. And suddenly she just put me in it and made me drive her home. And now I've been working for her for 3 weeks. I just need to get home to my family.
So Kyle comes over, of course, and they look at Kathy's house, which is supposedly all decked out for Christmas, but I don't know. It's just like so big and white and old looking. I don't really see much. I mean, I see the trees and I see the stuff they put around the doorways, but I'm like, eh.
Well, there was like one giant pile of like ornaments, right? There were trees everywhere. The point that what matters most is not what you saw. It's what matters is what Kyle saw. What Kyle saw was a house that was better decorated than hers. And she was like, oh my God. Oh God. I mean, what did you do? Raid the coffers of the Kyle and Jamie Foundation to pay for all of this? This is crazy.
I have started a Christmas fund for sick children called the Kyle Richards and also Santa Claus too fund. You'd like to donate.
And the best is the way that Kathy is just able to casually upstage Kyle, because Kyle's like, I feel like such an underachiever. And Kathy's like, oh, come over here. Look, oh, this over here, you know, I just did this for Architectural Digest, which comes out on the 23rd. What prestigious magazine did you do anything for, Kyle?
So they go on about that, and then they go outside to eat. And Kyle's like, yeah, I need to order that. And Kathy's like, oh, you want to order, Kyle? So they sit down to eat, and Kathy's like, well, first of all, trying to get in touch with you is like trying to pull a hemorrhoid out of a bull's tush, Kyle. The fuck does she think farmers do all day? Pull is a she hemorrhoid
having,
out.
Is she having Patrick write her lines? She's like, Patrick, I need to have a line to give to Kyle when I start the scene. He's like, well, madam, how about something about pulling hemorrhoids out of a bull's tush? That'll work.
So Kyle's like, really, Kathy? It's like, yeah, I've called a million times, Kyle. And she's like, okay, give me your phone. Okay, I'm going to have to bring out the receipts on this, Kathy. And she goes, I don't have my phone. It's completely lost. Carol. And some lady comes out. And she's like, my name's not Carol. But I'm the closest to the door. What can I do for you?
I love Carol. Like, her Chiron was Kathy's brand manager. And I love that this brand manager, Carol, just has to sort of stand around and then, like, fetch phones for her. That's, like, her brand management.
She goes, Carol, where's my phone? She goes, I don't know. Could you find it, Carol? Carol. Carol's got a lot of attitude. But she's really good at getting an angel up on a tree. So we keep her. It's my brand.
Yeah, I mean, she's got an MBA from MIT, but, you know, we'd like to use her just to put, you know, things on trees. So then Kyle is, like, pulling up her phone, and she shows all the text messages she sent to Kathy that Kathy never responded to. And then she calls Kathy's phone, and it goes directly to voicemail. And she's like, see, this is why you don't hear from me. Kathy's basically
You're blocked. You are blocked, Kyle. How many times do people need to explain to you? You are blocked from Kathy's phone. She's never unblocked you.
Yes.
So she's like, wait, I mean, Kathy, how long have you been saying that you can't dial your phone and your assistant was going to make your phone work? I mean, come on, Kathy. She's like, yeah, it still doesn't work. That's so weird. Wait, why are they moving my chair back? That's so weird. I mean, here you are riding like, hey, Kathy. Oh, I don't know why you're going over the fence like that. That is so crazy.
So then Paula arrives and just places two giant baked potatoes in front of them. And I was like, what is happening here? Just like, it wasn't, there's no anything, just two baked potatoes. So then I think maybe was this like, in certain ways, I felt like this was Kathy showing how relatable she is. And then also how completely unrelatable she is. Cause she's showing how to like open up a baked potato. She's like, well, you got to take a knife and you slice it, and here's what you do. And she puts like a napkin over it and pushes it open. It's like, Kathy teaches us the basics. See, she's just like us. She knows how to use a baked potato.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, Paula, thank you. Thank you for bringing me this knife. And Kyle's like, oh, really? Now it's Paula? I thought it was Lady before. But now it's Paula?
Yeah. So then Kathy, now that she's opened up her baked potato, she starts scooping all the sour cream and like enormous amounts of caviar, just like overflowing with caviar, and she's just putting it all into this giant baked potato.
It's from a famous place in Paris, so yeah. I don't know if that's a thing that they do.
It probably is, but I was just like, it was a huge, like, that was an expensive potato, that's for sure. And she just was like, oh, whatever. Oh, I'm barely gonna be able to eat all of this.
Yeah, and she's salting it, you know, which I don't think you're supposed to do to caviar.
Yeah.
So, whatever, you guys do your thing. I'm poor. Okay, I don't get it.
And Kyle's like, is this an entree or is it an appetizer? And Kathy's like, what? I ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Is it entree or appetizer? Huh? Were you listening to my question, Kathy? Anyway, it's an entree.
I don't even know why you're talking. It should have gone straight to the male in the voice. So I'm not really sure. So Kyle's like, yeah, I guess if you pour thousands of dollars onto a potato, it's an entree. So she's like, so Kathy's like, I mean, tell me this. Where do you find someone to help you? You've got four servants there right now. We just saw them on camera. And she's like, it's just so hard. I'm so overwhelmed. I mean, I wrap so many gifts. My fingers hurt. Stores don't deliver. You can't find ribbon anymore. And then someone peed on my sofa the other night, Kyle.
Kyle's like, a person, a dog, or a Jamie Lee Curtis? I'm sorry. Jamie Lee Curtis was at my house, Kathy. My house. I forgot.
Like, no, it was someone. Someone peed on my couch. She goes, a person peed on your sofa? She's like, yes. Who peed on her couch?
Who peed on Kathy Hilton's couch? I don't even know the people in her orbit, but I'm going to just say, I'll say it was Chris Kardashian. We're starting that rumor. Chris Kardashian peed on Kathy Hilton's couch.
Lonnie smelt and dealt it.
You see Kim run by with a sheet wrapped around her.
With like a 32-ounce jug of iced tea.
Wow, Kim's all over this recap today. So then Kathy's like, and my carpets are ruined. The whole house was falling apart. And Kyle just laughs at her.
Now we go to Diana's house. It's like party time. And so Asher has come out. At first, I thought, like, wow, he really is.
Congratulations!
He has. At first, I was going to say it was Constantine Marulla's hair. But then the more I looked at it, the more I realized it was kind of just like Dana Delaney hair. I was like, I appreciate this Dana Delaney cosplay he's kind of doing.
Yeah. So Diana's like, well, pandemic messing with me bad because I usually have more guests, but I'm trying to make it cozy. I'm trying to fill this space. Oh, it's going to be Christmas miracle for sure. And Ashley's like, oh my God, I need more ribbon over here. More ribbon, aisle three.
So now Rita's in glam. And then, and she's getting a FaceTime from Crystal, and Crystal basically says that Dorit has COVID. And then, we go to Erica, who's in glam, and Mikey, of course, is just overseeing. I mean, he's just like, gay magic, gay magic, gay magic.
And she's like,
well, I'm going to have a few drinks. I've been having a good time lately. Well, maybe too much of a good time.
And he goes, do you want one now? She goes,
yeah, I do.
And he's like, okay, I'll get you one. Alcoholism storyline. Gay magic. Gay magic. Sad, sad gay magic.
I like that Mikey has to stop whatever he's doing on that day to go over to Erica's house to watch her get makeup put on and then bring her champagne. That's like what he does. Just to watch it. Just to watch the process.
Yeah. So then back at Diana's. Okay, so he's in like, Asher is like in this little red velvet suit.
It's like Night at the Roxbury. Right? Yes. And he's got like the black shirt, the necklace and everything. It's like literally Night at the Roxbury with Dana Delaney here.
Yeah, and Diana comes in like a black sequined caftan. I'm not really sure what Diana's doing.
It was like some retro thing. It was like a turtleneck that never stopped. It was like,
I was like, are you in Follies? Is Follies on tour?
It would look great, like 1960s.
I'm from Bosnia and Bosnia. I'm from Bosnia, but my dear, I'm still here from Bosnia.
It was like she rose up out of a sequined puddle. It was like, she just was like draped. It felt like she was connected to the floor or something like that. Bosnia, Yugoslavia Christmas. So so now people are showing up. Her son shows up. So of course she's like, oh, it's my son. She becomes very Yolanda when she's around her son. You know, she's like, oh,
Ada. Her son seems nice-ish, but he really needs to learn how to close his mouth when he eats, because that really grossed me out last week. This is how he eats. He's like, Bosnia. Bosnia. So Rin is like, there was money spent on this party, honey, cash. I said honey like that.
I know,
Mikey's like, gay magic.
So Rena's like, Erica, are you going to drink? She's like, well, yeah, I'm going to drink, but maybe not as much as I had got sales, okay? And Dinah's like, oh, you can definitely sleep over. I left chairs out. I'm a dreamer.
And there's drinks, like one is the golligasm, and Diana's like, I have golligasm here. This is what I'm drinking. And it's like a drink in like a little ornament or something, which is cute.
Yeah.
But then the rest of them have her like neuro bullshit in it. Like, do I really, like, oh, thanks for having me over. Do I really have to drink a neuro drink with my vodka? Get that shit out of my face.
I forgot that she has that. Is that like a water or something like that? Or what's her neuro thing? Yeah,
it's like some like... Oh my God, that improves everything inside of you. Neuro!
Well, I mean, until I can start holding beverages both hot and cold, I'm not impressed. Okay. So then Crystal shows up. She's in this like really bright green sequined, very short dress and everything. And so she's just like, everyone's like, wow, Crystal. And she's talking to Diana's kids about getting dressed as the Grinch. So that was a thing that happened.
I just zoned out. I'm so sorry. I was looking over my notes, and then I was like, I'm bored. I'm bored with these notes.
So Kyle comes over,
and she's wearing a mask. You know, the lady who just had everybody over to hug, group hug Jamie Lee at the same time is like, oh my God, I'm so worried. So she's like, oh, I got this as a thank you, Diana. I brought you a thank you gift for having us over. It looks like books stacked on each other, but it's really a box. Read what the books say on the outside. Jamie Lee Curtis, hot, cold keychain, dog leash, cancer, Kyle Foundation. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's, by the way, the most appropriate thing that Kyle would ever give is something that looks like something you read, but you don't even read it at all. Like, that's, I feel like that's Kyle's life. It's like an LA Times article.
And it's not, yeah, it is. And it's something that Diana would not ever have. Like a box that looks like a stack of books. Like, now I have something to return Gwynnie's head in if Brad ever fucks with me again. I know her.
So
they talk about how Sutton's not going to be coming either.
Yeah, she's positive. COVID. Yeah. So then Kyle meets Diana's son, and then Erica goes up to the son, and she goes, you're married, right? Sorry, I just didn't know. He's like, I'm 22. Damn, I'm really striking out with these kids this season, huh?
So, yeah, you two aren't married, then. Wanna fuck, both of you? I could be in the middle or the end. I don't mind being the top bun, all right? I don't mind being the top bun on that single with cheese. I'm all right, let's get it moving.
So then Kathy arrives. So now it's like her first group scene of the season. So everyone's like, oh, Kathy. She's like, well, hello. And Kathy, like, she meets Innes, and she's like, oh, you know Paris, don't you? He's like, yeah, I know Paris.
Wow. The way he said that, he's like, sure do. I know Paris.
My light just went out.
I was like, what are you suggesting, sir? Tell us what you know.
My light is protesting this moment. It has just...
Is it like it is. You only have me for half an hour?
I guess so. I don't know. It's a brand new light.
Or
so
an hour.
It I really guess. Wasn't up to the task. Okay, it's back.
So let's see here. They talk about each other's outfits because it's Beverly Hills. So let's take 20 minutes and talk about how everybody's dressed. So they do that. Mm-hmm. And then they're making fun of Crystal's because it's so short. You know, like it's a really short dress. And Kathy's like, put your hands up. That's how you know if it's too short, dear. And she starts lifting her arms and the dress lifts. It's hilarious. So Garcelle comes over with a gold sparkle top thing and a unicorn for the baby, for Diana's baby. And you know, I can't wait to see that floating down the LA River. Because you know, the second Garcelle left, Diana was like, fuck this. I'm from Bosnia, unicorn bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Garcelle says, like, well, Diana was out of control at my party, so my gift to her is coming to her party, not bringing any bad energy, which she didn't do at my party, if you heard the first part of my sentence. By the way, I just want to say, apologies to Crap is on Demand. I don't know what's going on with my light, so now I will be shrouded in darkness for the rest of this recap.
Now Ben is a person on Jerry Springer that is here to give testimony, but I've doesn't want something. Anybody to... Yeah, you need to talk through the voice.
Talk like this. Yes.
Okay, so Garcelle and Crystal are talking to Erica. Oh, God. So this is where it gets really awkward. Yeah. So first off, Garcelle goes, you look thin.
Which
doesn't really sound like a compliment, and you know you shouldn't be saying that to someone with an eating disorder. Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with you, too? What's
Garcelle, wrong with you? Garcelle, you should do better. Like, especially because in a few moments, you're going to be rightfully making statements about what you should and shouldn't say to someone with an eating disorder. But like, also, like, maybe revise your language. I don't know. So
I think at first I thought everyone's being so weird about Crystal suddenly in this episode, but I think it's because she posted that Instagram. So everybody's like, oh, okay, Crystal posted this Instagram on a shooting day. So this is a Crystal like eating disorder storyline kind of a day. That's all I can think of. Cause I'm like, why is everybody suddenly being awkward about this? Like being problematic basically about this at the exact same time. Right.
Yeah.
So Crystal says, well, I'm not thin. And she goes, oh, just say thank you, Crystal. Just say thank you. And Erica's like, oh, so what you're saying is you don't feel good about it? You don't feel good about looking thin, huh, man? What's up with that?
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're triggered. And Crystal's like, yeah. And Erica goes, so is it that you eat it and you feel guilty or do you deny yourself? And she's like, no, I eat it and I feel guilty. I have a heart. I can't be with it. And Erica's like, wow. Well, I always think, take laxatives and get rid of it. What? What? I could not believe that Erica said that. That was like, I was shocked.
I actually paused and I was like, what just happened?
I know. Okay. I was like, because, what the fuck was that?
Anyone familiar with bulimia and eating disorders knows laxatives is considered a part of bulimia. It can be, you know, it's another form of purging after you've eaten. So what a stupid fucking thing to say. So then I was like, well, did Erica mean it like Sutton did? Like, I'm just trying to get along with you. Is she trying to say,
was
like,
she trying to be
I
funny?
Understand I have an eating disorder because I take laxatives? Or was she, what the fuck? Like, I couldn't make sense of, even Erica knows that you don't say that, right?
I mean, it was so... It was just so strange. I wasn't sure if she was trying to be like, if she was just trying to be like super down, like I've been down this path before, I get it too, sister. But it didn't really come off that way. It was just,
She's like, don't be bulimic, take laxatives. I mean, what the fuck? So then, and that's just how it starts, okay? So there's a really long pause while Crystal's like, I don't know. And Garcelle just goes, Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So Garcelle tells us a laxative. She has an eating disorder. Erica's not a doctor. You don't prescribe laxatives to someone with an eating disorder. That is the most inappropriate thing at the most inappropriate time to look someone who looks so fabulously thin, as I told her.
Yeah. She already looks thin. She doesn't need to have laxative talk. So so then Erica's asking Crystal what happens when she purges, and Crystal says she feels a lot better. I'm sure Crystal really loves having to talk about this at like a Christmas party when she just like she's just trying to have fun. And and so Crystal's like, she's like, you know, sometimes I look aloof because it's me just like thinking about it, which I thought was interesting actually, because, you know, there was a lot of times. Like, I remember last season during the dinner party from Hell Part 2 when it felt like they would just cut to Crystal during that scene and she was, like, not participating and she was just sort of, like, staring off. And the truth is that after hearing that, she probably was thinking, I just ate all this shit. And, like, her mind was probably a little bit elsewhere, which is sad. So Erica goes, okay, I'm gonna be a really gross right now, okay? Have you ever stuck two fingers up Mikey Minden's asshole? Because I just did it earlier for fun. Okay.
Oh, God. So she's like, well, how do you feel? What happens after you eat when you're not supposed to eat? She goes, well, you know, I purge, and that's like the relief of it. And Erica goes, oh, a relief. Okay. So, but you did enjoy it going down? You enjoyed it going down? Oh, my God. So and then we get the musical cue, my favorite. It goes, so then Crystal's like, yeah. She goes, oh, and then you feel guilt, right? Like, I gotta get rid of this. And she goes, yeah, I'm gonna be gross right now, but, you know, you would rather vomit it up, but I'd rather poop it out.
Thanks for that perspective. So Crystal tells us, is she trying to be helpful or she had too many drinks? Because as long as she's gonna be bothering me about this at a party, I'm gonna push the narrative that she's an alcoholic. So Erica is like, well, have you had treatment? And she's like, no. And Erica's like, well, you know what better? You know what better come out? You know what's gonna come out? A better Crystal. They're like, oh, okay. So then it's like back to the party, and a waiter comes walking out, and he has like appetizers. I was gonna, like, that was me. That was my pause to say, bring it to the end, Ronnie.
Right. So he has appetizers. And so Erica takes one and Crystal goes up to get one. And she goes, oh, you can't have this, Crystal. It's a chicken tender, right? I need a drink. Well, the bulimic trying to eat a fucking chicken tender. Can you believe it? I just told her a story of putting two fingers up Mikey's ass and she still wants a chicken finger. Hilarious.
It's like,
The episode ended with my face in my hands. And it's a lot to make me feel awkward, but
yeah,
even I was like, wow.
I mean, to be fair, Erica is... I was not expecting her to go down the Ramona path this season, but she kind of is now. This has been like two episodes where she's really like, you're like, what are you doing, Erica? But then I was like, isn't this what we sort of always wanted from Erica? I can't tell, but this is really... This was pretty, like, terrible. And like it's almost like she is I feel like she's never like socialized with people before or something, and now she's like trying to have personality and she's just like trash. Missing all the marks.
She's trash is what she is. Okay, look, here's the thing. She always talked in her first seasons about how she hated all the women that were around Tom's law firm because it was like the wives, and the wives would always look down on her and judge her, and she's just like this street smart hip chick who's down, you know, she's like down. Erica's down. So then we see now, when all of the filters have been stripped from her, that she is just one of those ignorant idiots who just says cringe thing after cringe thing.
I feel
like she is all the, she's become all the people that she looked down upon.
Well, you know? I feel like she has not, I think I think that like the only people she spends time with is like her glam squad. And you can see how like this kind of humor like works probably with the glam squad, like super acerbic, cutting gay humor. Cause I can imagine a gay being like, you got eating disorder. You can't have this. Ha ha, bitch. Like I can see that like with us gays. I really can see people doing that. And I don't think she realizes that like that kind of banter doesn't translate out of her glam squad. And that's why it's like, who, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, ugh. This is why it's a she struggles because she doesn't have friends outside of her glam squad. And it's like not translating awkward. Very well at all.
Yeah, she doesn't have people saying like, you shouldn't, that's problematic. I just found it interesting that it's two cast members who basically had this conversation in separate scenes. It's like they decided, and you know that Kyle and Erica, the final flops or whatever they're called, all get together and talk about what they're going to bring on camera, you know, because they're always coordinated. So it just seemed weird that it's this episode that's coordinated about going after Crystal about eating disorder stuff. Because Kyle's stuff was weird. Her like, but why do you do it? When do you do it? How do you, what are you not? That was weird. And then Erica comes in doing the exact same thing. Now, granted, Erica did add a couple extra helpings of cringe on there. She really but did. It was so similar that I'm like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? Is this planned? And what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, this fucking show gets me.
This is wild. Anyway.
Weird show.
Weird show. Happy holidays. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back later this week. We've got Southern Charm and Girls Trip later this week. It's going to be super fun. Thanks for listening and watching. Here. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, it's Jennifer Corcoran.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Paging Paige Mills, paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emma. Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now I'm returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell. where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.